the pattern that I kept seeing was those that were wealthy, those that were really well off in multiple facets of their life, they were business owners, real estate investors. And I kept seeing that pattern over and over and over.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and I'm really excited about the conversation we're about to have with Mr. Brigham Blackham today. Brigham, thanks so much for joining us on the Vacation Rental Revolution.
Wow, Sean, thank you so much for the invite. I feel like this is coming full circle. I've been listening to this for years, and I absolutely love the content that you put out there, and it's just so much fun to have a conversation with you today.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm really excited about our conversation as well. You know, we've got to know each other over the years a little bit from you. You know, you're part of the Vodacy family. You've been in this game. You've got a nice portfolio. We're going to talk about a lot of things. You've got your own podcast. We're starting a management company. We're doing a lot of things in the short-term rental space. And so I get really excited about these conversations just because I learn and enjoy them as much as hopefully our listeners do. But just listening to the ups and downs and the journey that people take into the short-term rental game. And so, you know, always our goal with Vodacy, the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast, is to help short-term rental investors walk into this game with their eyes wide open. And these types of conversations and people willing, like you, willing to come on and share their journey, the ups and downs and everything in between, really helps people do that. So I'm really excited. And so, Brigham, what I always like to start with, though, is everybody comes from different backgrounds and their journey starts from so many different places. And I'm always so interested to hear kind of your background. Let's rewind the clock a little bit, hear about your background. What got you interested in real estate investing in general, and then ultimately into the short-term rental game?
I love it. Well, we're going to go back to when I was in high school. The very first time that I played a game called Cashflow 101, my brother, he was an accountant. He's like, you got to play this game. It's so much fun. We played a handful of times. I was like, man, I just need to figure out how to buy more assets. Yeah. And then I kind of tabled it for a few years. I was like, well, I'm just going to go to school. And then I was very interested in storytelling. I absolutely love theater. So that's what I dedicated my career to, was theater. And in the middle of going to school, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go serve a mission for my church. So I took a pause and I went and served in Taiwan for 2 years. It was so much fun. And when I came back, I had a huge benefit of being able to talk to thousands and thousands of people and see different lives, things that people are doing that are working, and other things that really just patterns of negativity. And I was like, well, I know I don't want to do that. I know I want to do this. And the pattern that I kept seeing was those that were wealthy, those that were really well off in multiple facets of their life, they were business owners and real estate investors. And I kept seeing that pattern over and over and over. And because of that, I kind of went on a search while I was going through my schooling to finish my teaching degree. I was being an actor as well. I was just on a hungry search to figure out how I could get into this idea of how do I buy assets? It just was back in my mind, Cashflow 101, how do I buy assets? How do I figure this out? And I joined a handful of different groups to get started. The first one was Renatus, which helped me get my foot started. And then about 3 years into that, I was like, man, I want to really niche down and do short-term rentals only. And that's when I joined Vodacy. And it's been so rewarding. My very first property, it was one of my parents' old properties. I ended up arbitraging it. So what that model is, you know, you rent and then you re-rent it out.
Yeah.
And what I discovered was, you know what, if you can tell a good story, you can have a good customer experience all the way through, then people will start to know, like, and trust you, and they'll start to come back to you over and over and over. And that was my first one. I was like, well, if I can do it once, I wonder if I can do it again. And now I've got 9 of my own. Really grateful for the added insights of your program, the support system that's part of that as well. And then I'm just really thankful, because when I first started, I was really stuck in my mindset of, oh, you have to go to school, get good grades to get a good job, and that's what's going to take care of me.
Right.
But it didn't sit well with that go buy assets mentality that I learned from Cashflow 101.
Yeah, it's interesting. You say Cashflow 101 is Robert Kiyosaki's board game, right? And I wasn't in high school; I was a little older. But Teresa and I used to play that game all the time. And you know, it's a more sophisticated version of Monopoly for those that haven't played it, right? And you're really kind of figuring it out, and you're trying to get out of the rat race and everything else. And the only way out of the rat race was to own businesses and real estate, right? And I love that you brought up that board game. I still have it in my basement, and we've shown the kids it. It's such a great board game, and it's so much fun. I was a little older when I started paying attention to it. But it's funny how we have these little moments in life. And then, like you said, you started from that, you started paying attention to the outside world and the people you talked to and the people that were, you know, the haves and the have nots. And there was a similarity between the haves, right? And they said, hey, listen, they own businesses or they own real estate. And it's funny because we don't really learn that growing up in school, right? It's not something they really teach us. And it's interesting, it, you know, that your background in theater and storytelling and everything else led you to this asset class, which is no surprise to me, especially because we are so much selling an experience, and why you're doing so well in it, and why you really probably part of why you gravitated toward it, because you were able to kind of take your love of storytelling. And, you know, and my daughter's in theater and she does a lot of theater. I can't imagine her having to do anything that she couldn't just like go express herself and tell a story. And so, exactly. You know, I'm sure that this is an asset class that you probably have a lot of fun with because of that as well.
Yeah. The storytelling element was the thing that attracted me the absolute most. It was something that when you understand how to help a guest see from the pictures what they'll experience and then have them put themselves in that experience and be able to walk through it, it's so much fun. And it's a part of creative expression, I think, is exciting with this asset class that you don't have in almost any other element of real estate.
No.
So I find it so enjoyable to build out new units.
It's
so
and super lucrative, right? This is an element that I could talk about all day, every day. And I talk about it a lot on the podcast, talk a lot about it a lot in our trainings and our masterminds and the workshops that I put on, is being able to say the difference between somebody that can tell a story and somebody that can't, the difference in the size of their bank account is significant. Yeah. And really understanding that and why I love this asset class so much, because it's one of those things we can do to differentiate ourselves from the competition. And the competition just doesn't seem to latch onto that as much. There's so many people that one, it's not in their wheelhouse. And I totally get it. I'm not that type of person. I'm not that really creative, expressive, like outgoing, like person that naturally that comes to me. My daughter, I see it in her. It, like we're like polar opposites when it comes to that. I know how important it is and why I have to do it. And so we, you know, like I pay very close attention, but don't like, for those of you that are listening, you're like, you know, I'm not like Brigham. I, you know, I don't get on stages and I don't tell stories and that's not comfortable for me. It's a skill set that you can still apply and it is really, really fun, right? And part of it is like we'd always talk about, be part of your target audience. If you love mountain biking, go put together a mountain biking experience, right? And being able to tell that story. You don't have to be somebody that, so I want to bring that up because I don't want somebody in the listening saying, well, that's not me. So I don't know that I can do that. Right. But I brought it up because I'm sure that that's why you gravitated towards short-term rentals. And you also understood the financial backstory of it and saying, okay, it's pretty significant how much more money I can make when I do understand that and have that skill set.
And how much more fun you can have while you're doing it. Cause I think if you're making money, that's great. But if you're making money and it's not fun, there's only so much energy and effort you want to put into it. But what I've noticed about short-term rentals is when you have a great experience and a guest lets you know, hey, I had this amazing experience. I came out here. We went to go mountain climbing over here at this space. And that was exactly the target audience I was going for. Yeah. It's a huge reward that I don't remember ever hearing from a long-term, a long-term landlord saying, wow, I'm so grateful I got a 5-star review from my from my tenants. That just doesn't really happen.
You might get them. Yeah, you don't. It's not even something that happens, right? Nobody even gives reviews.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's something that strokes my ego as an actor, you know? So it's like, I really appreciate the feedback. And also I feel like I learn so much from my guests. When I first started, I was like, well, I have a lot of experience in telling stories. This is a story that I want to tell. But every single time a guest comes through and they say, well, what if you did like this? And you make these little tiny adjustments. Yeah. Just like a chiropractor, just resetting, making little tiny adjustments. The story gets clearer. The entire framework of what you're doing gets a little bit clearer, and it's a morphing product all the time. Right. You can add little elements here and there that make it even better.
Yeah, it's fun, and like you said, it is a really fun asset class. And when you get when you're sharing, you know, the things that you love about something, and then somebody else tells you, oh man, Brigham, that was awesome. You put this together perfectly. You know, like you said, it just makes you feel good. Right. And, you know, you always have so much energy. I always, you know, at the office, I always tell people here, cause you know, there's certain people you're around. Right. And I said, man, if I could have half of Brigham's energy and going into stuff, like, but it's obvious you have fun with this. Right. And you're, you enjoy what you're doing.
There is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodiceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code PODCAST. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off.
And so we got the first property. We arbitraged that from your parents. You started to say, okay, I got kind of dipping my toes in this game, starting to have some success. And then how did it grow from there? Because I know you have more than just the one property.
Yeah. So it started growing from there by me really diving into more education, really figuring out, okay, now I understand that this can work in this one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Can I do a two bedroom? And then I went and I arbitraged three more units up in South Jordan, Utah. I still have those today. And as I went through doing that, I got one, and then I was just not taking the profits for the first couple of years, actually. And I would take that as soon as I had enough to buy another one, I'd drop it in and build out another unit. And I did that for the first 2.5 years, just putting it in there. And then as I got a little bit more proficient at this, I was able to see that this is a way that I can increase my cash flow significantly if I can provide these experiences on a consistent basis. So I was able to do that the last few years until I got 9. So now, Now fast forward, it was really just being disciplined with where I was placing my money. Cause I wasn't making a lot as a teacher. I don't know if you've ever experienced that talking to other teachers, like, well, how much expendable income do you have? Like not
a lot, right?
You have to be really conscientious with what you're doing. And that was something that allowed me to start getting cash flow and see how I could pick up some assets.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one of the things that I started doing, was just figuring out where I can put that into play.
I love that. And I want to hang on that point for just a minute, because this is a point that we hear all the time, that somebody, this limiting belief that, well, I don't make enough money in what I'm doing, right? I don't have this multi six figure paycheck coming in and I could just have all kinds of capital to deploy. And it drives me crazy, because that is absolutely all it is a limiting belief, right? I mean, we have, like you mentioned, a school teacher, arguably one of the most underpaid professions out there and underappreciated professions out there. So I appreciate you doing what you're doing. And it was, but at the end of the day, there's not a lot of disposable income. So you mentioned a word that is critical, is having the discipline to say, okay, I'm going to prioritize building this right now instead of, so whatever it is, whether it's $100 a month or $1,000 a month or $50 a month, whatever it is, you start to build this muscle of saving and being disciplined to say, okay, I'm going to take some of what I have and put it into something that I want to build for a better future, right? And a lot of people, they give up right in the beginning because they think, well, I'll do it when I make more. I'll do it when something better happens, when I get another job or when I get that promotion. And what happens is, even if you get the other job or the other promotion, your lifestyle expenses go up. Naturally, people just spend more. And so it really doesn't matter what walk of life or what stage of life you're in. You have to develop that muscle of disciplined savings and budgeting to put it into those things that we want to, that we say are priorities, right? And I think that's all it comes down to. And so I love to like hang on that point. Like, when did you decide? Like, did you just, because you saw some success in the beginning, you knew what the potential was, or were you like, hey, I'm going to make this a priority because this is part of just who I am, right? Did you always have that muscle built?
I did not always have that muscle built, but I had went in with my eyes open that if I was going to make this a success for myself, I needed to take whatever I was making and buy more assets and build that monthly recurring revenue. Because if I didn't, then it would eventually not be as lucrative. Like, right. You can do really well with one unit, but if you don't get multiple units of production, eventually that one unit's not going to mean as much,
yeah,
5-10 years down the road. So my whole idea was, how do I increase my opportunities to get more units of production?
Yeah.
And I love this expression. It's better to have time on market than to try and time the market.
Yeah. 100%.
The earlier adopters, those that are willing to get in and be in the arena. I just read Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. So the phrase that pops in my head is to be in the arena. It's better to have an okay unit that you're improving every single time that you can than to have no unit.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? It's not perfect. And I had to start with that, with it not being perfect, because if I would have had, you know, $100,000 that I could drop into it, I would have been awesome. But at that time, I built out my first unit for, I think, less than 10K, which is really tough to do anything in real estate with less than 10K.
Yes.
It's not impossible, but you have to be very resourceful and very conscientious of every single choice.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful that I put the energy and effort in there to make that first one a success. Here's just like some ballpark numbers so you can see what that first one did for me as far as changing my mindset.
Yeah.
My parents used to rent that for about $500 every single month. That was the most they'd ever made. And they'd had multiple really bad tenants that only paid like a quarter of the time. And they're like, man, this is awful. It's just not working. Not worth it. And when I came in, my very first year, we grossed a little over $1,000 every single month. Our net was over 500, and that was after all expenses. And I was like, this is a hugely different experience than what my parents had. And I was like, I want to make sure that I can apply this to other elements of real estate.
Yeah.
So it just opened my eyes. That's
really, I love it. I love it. And I love that you brought up, you know, the fact that you don't have to hit the home run right out of the gate. And I think so many people are sitting there waiting at the plate, waiting for that perfect pitch so they can knock it out of the park, and they don't swing at anything that's not perfect. Right. And being able to just get in the game, like our concept is, listen, we're looking for base hits, because if you take the base hits, eventually you're going to have a home run. But guess what? When you said time in the market is better than trying to time the market, is those base hits ultimately turn into home runs after so long in the market, right? And so just getting in the game, and things aren't going to be perfect, is they might not, you know, the one property that's netting you $500 a month, that's not life-changing money on that one property. But look what you've grown it into, and look at what you're continuing to grow, and you're not stopping where you're at. But I mean, it's significantly different now because it opened your mindset to say, holy crap, I just doubled the gross revenue on this property by just changing the way I'm going to use it, right? And so it opens, and I love that you're bringing this stuff up, because I think so many people are looking for that one deal that's going to be life-changing. Well, I have news for you. Your first deal is going to be life-changing, not for the reasons you think it is, though, a lot of times.
And I think part of this idea of change is you start to change yourself.
Yeah.
You start to recognize, oh, this is an opportunity, and that's an opportunity. You start to choose which opportunities you want to be involved in. And I've said no to a lot more deals than I've said yes to, but the ones I say yes to, I'm excited about. Like this newest one that I have on the docket is going to be a glamping site. And I'm doing it with a partner out of Kansas City on this little piece of farmland. We're going to do some tents. And it's like, all in, it's going to be less than 50K for 14 units. I was like, that's a huge difference in thinking than I originally thought I had to do it in a building. This is super exciting because it's just totally transforming what's possible if you are open to those ideas and those opportunities.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. And it is fun, as like you said, as the business continues to morph, and as you continue to grow, and you, like you said, different opportunities open themselves up to you. And like, because you're in the game, you're starting to recognize some of those opportunities. The other thing that I always tell people, and I always talk about, is people assume that an opportunity shows up on our doorstep wrapped up in a present and a big red bow on it and says, here's an opportunity. That's not what they are. The best opportunities are so hard to recognize unless you're in the game playing a game, right?
Right. Like, you think about it. If we go back to your getting a base hit type of example, if you're just watching every single ball and you don't take a swing, you definitely aren't going to get on base.
No.
But you throw in the offer and you take that swing, maybe you're going to strike out every once in a while, but you might get a base hit. And then what if you got a double or a triple, or you actually hit a home run?
Yeah.
I love that analogy, because every single swing that we take, that's one more iteration, one more data point to say, oh, I can be successful in this. This is something that is making sense. If I can do it, why not help somebody else? You can do a hand up, not a hand out.
Yeah.
And start to add value in multiple facets.
So. Love it. Love it. All right. So the next project is the Kansas City glamping one, or Kansas, in Kansas. So you've gotten the 9 properties now. Are they all here in Utah?
All of my properties are here in Utah. And even this glamping site is in Utah, just with my partner that is from Kansas City.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So they're all, even they're here, all it's going to be, okay, awesome.
So growing outside of Utah, cause I'm moving to Colorado. So that's exciting. That's going to be my next place that I'm really expanding my property management side of my business. But Yeah, I think the biggest value in growing like this is seeing where can I take this? What right. do I like doing? One, what are the stories I want to create and craft and the experiences? And then if I can provide a valuable experience to a family or to a small group that lets them have a memory that is just phenomenal, that's really rewarding to me. So that's why I'm creating this. What would be the ideal camping experience? That's where I'm creating this with Maple Canyon down in, you know, central Utah.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Beautiful area too. Lots of fun. So, and you briefly mentioned it. I mentioned it in the beginning that we're kind of, you know, now you're rolling into the property management side. You know, I always say that's the Achilles heel of the business and really being able to find the right property management partner. And any of you that listen to me for long enough know that I don't manage any of my own properties. I love working with full service property managers who really understand the game, who really are interested in maximizing our assets as much as we are. And that sounds a lot easier to find than it actually is out there in this space. Right. And so, you know, I'd love to talk a little bit about that and kind of what got you excited about that. And I'm excited to see you grow this side of your business and help other like investors like myself really maximize their portfolio with somebody that really understands the game.
No, I guess the easiest thing to say for me on why I got into it was I am doing the exact same thing as I'm doing in arbitrage, except for I have almost zero risk as a property manager. My risk is if they don't like me and I'm not doing my job correctly, they can fire me. That's the risk.
Right.
And deferring that risk, but applying my skill set to maximize units, I benefit and they benefit. So it's a massive win-win. The more productive I am, the more money I make. And the more I make them, the happier they are. So I'm incentivized in the right way. That was just the easiest transition from my skill set of doing arbitrage with multiple units to say, I wonder what would happen if I could help somebody else get closer to their dreams. If I could help somebody else see what's possible in their specific units, run the numbers, do the due diligence to make sure that yes, it is a viable product. And if it is, we'll take it on. We'll build out that exact experience they want and then deliver on it consistently. That's really where my excitement comes, because I'm deferring my risk over multiple properties and helping them really maximize their assets using the experiences that I've already had.
Love it. And I love one little subtlety that I picked up on that I look for in property managers that you just mentioned, because I actually just got back from Atlanta speaking to 700 property managers.
Oh, nice.
And I was kind of bringing the investor side of the point of view, like what are we looking for? But one thing you just mentioned and what almost no property managers will do is looking, you said, I'm going to look and see if they have a viable product. If it's a viable product to be able to actually deliver a great experience, be part of what we're trying to put together, then together we can really grow and maximize this asset. And so few property managers, and it shows that you know what you're talking about and doing, because just the fact that you mentioned, I'm going to look at the product first, make sure there's a viable product. If we can improve upon it, we'll improve upon it. If there's things we can do to raise the bar, we'll do so. But sometimes it's not there, right? Sometimes there's people who have properties in bad locations or bad properties that are not willing to create a unique experience. And you just mentioned, you know, you're not really interested in that in your portfolio, because that's your brand as well, right? You want to make sure that you can raise the bar in the industry with your brand, but also it's how you're going to help them the most as well and be able to have those conversations. So few property managers even know to even consider that in the very beginning, right? They're just like, okay, here's the checklist of items that we do. If it looks good and you're okay with our fee, pay us, right? That's not, the first step is to look and say, is there potential here, right?
Right. And for me, if you're not making money, I actually don't want to do it for you, because you're going to have a bad experience. It's going to sully your experience over time.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that your product is good enough that we are going to be making your ideal cash flow that you're looking for. And I'm also going to be able to make money long-term too.
Yeah.
And that's something that if it's a win-win, then we can do it. But if it's not, if you're not going to make money, I actually don't want those people in my portfolio. Like you're going to be better off property managing it yourself if it's really narrow margins.
Right. Because it's going to be your largest expense. Like I always tell people, if you're a short-term rental investor and you're hiring a full-service property manager, it's going to be your largest expense. It's also, I believe, the most important relationship you will have long term. And so, and I'm curious on your thoughts on this, since we're on this topic on property management, because a lot of people run down this road and automatically they think their decision is, I'm going to manage it myself because I don't want to give up that fee, right? And people always are like, why don't you manage your own property, Sean? Because I can make a lot more money going and putting together different deals, buying more properties and hiring the right managers, because they actually do a better job of delivering the experience. And so I'm curious on this. I always say, it's my job as an investor to buy the right property in the right area, really get it set up and curate an amazing, unique experience for a target audience. And then once everything's put together, my property manager's job is to be able to take that and then ultimately deliver that experience every single time, really consistently, right? Get that property so that my 10th guest thinks that it looks the same way as my first guest. My 100th or 1,000th guest, that property looks the same way and has delivered that same experience the exact same way every single time. So it's very predictable. But I always say their job is to deliver this great experience. Their job is not to come in and fix my problem, right? And fix my property and curate an experience that I wasn't as an investor willing to invest in. And so I'm curious on your thoughts on that, because it's a different approach, I think, as far as from me as the investor, because a lot of investors hire full service property managers and they say, well, here's my property, now go market it and maximize it and do your thing. And really that their job is to deliver a great experience that's already put together.
I think the biggest idea here is, whose responsibility is it for the experience?
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's the owners. But if I'm going to take on a property, I want to make sure that there's value add potential. If there's something that I know that I can do to make that experience better for their ideal customer, I'm going to do that. I'm going to suggest, hey, I won't take on a property if they don't have professional photos. It just will not be in my portfolio. I won't take on a property if it has really crappy furnishings because I have standards that I want to make sure. If a guest stays in one of my short-term rentals, they can have a standard experience consistently.
Yeah.
So I'm very selective in who I'm going to let into my portfolio and really making sure that the product is viable. Like we talked about before, that comes down to how well was it managed before I touched it, right? How well was the experience curated before it was turned over? Because if I have to recreate the experience from a disheveled thing to try and make it something coherent, There's extra time and energy and effort that needs to go in there to make sure that it becomes a viable product.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because you look at it from both sides, right? You started as an investor, part of that Bodicey family that we talk about this stuff a lot, right? But there's a lot of, it's a differentiating factor for you in the property management business now, because there's not a lot of property managers that really even look at it that same way, right? They're looking at it much different because they don't come from that world of really having these amazing experiences and curating, you know, figuring out who our target audience is, really niching down. And you're going to bring a lot of value add to those investors who are not aware of that either. You're going to bring awareness that, hey, this stuff is important. We can really raise the bar. And then it's up to the investor to say, yes, I'm willing to do it and invest in it, or no, I'm not. And then you get to say, yeah, well, then, you know, I might not be the right fit for you. And I love that you're going to take that approach in the property management business, because I think it needs to happen. I think it helps raise the bar in the entire industry instead of just taking whoever will, you know, it's like heads and beds. It's like, whatever, I'll take it on and I don't have a lot of risk because it didn't really cost me anything. So sign up. And if I get a few bucks off of your property, great. But you're taking a whole different approach saying, I don't want it to, I'm looking to one, raise the bar in the industry, but two, it's your brand and your, you know, that's your brand reputation if you take some of those bad properties on. But I can tell you just from experience, Brigham, I'm excited for it to see where you grow the property management business side of it. Because when you start as an investor and you see that side of it, you understand what it takes to operate at a high level, then ultimately be able to help other people do that and say, okay, here as Mr. or Mrs. Investor, if you have this property and you curate this great experience, I can deliver it and we can make X amount of money more and maximize this asset. So few property managers have those conversations because, you know, I speak to these, like I said, I just got back from Atlanta speaking to 700 of them, and it's crazy how few property managers really understand this concept.
It's so important to be able to think of this from multiple perspectives. I think the most important perspective is from the guest perspective. What is their experience? And then as an investor, does this actually make sense long term? And then as a property manager, how do I consistently deliver on this their ideal experience for their ideal customer and have the pictures match the experience every time.
Yeah.
If they don't, if there's dissonance there, that's where bad reviews come, and you're not maximizing any property if you're getting consistently 4-star reviews.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. And yeah, I love that. And so we're going to wrap up, you know, we're kind of going to put a bow on this conversation. And, but I want to, there's always two things I want to kind of know. The first, and we'll get to this at the end, is we're going to make sure that we point people the right direction on how they can, because you've got your own podcast. You talk to, you know, business owners and people that are looking for growth and achievement in their life. And I love that, you know, I was able to come on and have a conversation with you on your podcast. And I really appreciate you having me on that. Absolutely. So there's going to be a multiple places with StayBnB that we're going to point people. And so we'll do that here in just a minute. But before we do that, one, thank you for sharing the story. I love diving into these conversations. I could always go way longer than the 30 or 40 minutes that we budget for these episodes. But, you know, I could talk for hours on this stuff. I appreciate you spending your time and sharing it with our audience and having this conversation with me. I love these types of conversations. And those of you that are watching on YouTube, you can see that Brigham's quite a bit handsomer and younger than I am. He doesn't have the gray hairs and the bald head that I have. And so, but as young as you are, all that stuff that you've gone through, I always ask toward the end of every episode is, if you could rewind and go back to your younger self and give you some advice and say, hey, listen, you know, here's something I learned as I navigated this journey that I would love to share with myself, my earlier younger self.
This is what I wish I would have known. Have you ever heard of kintsugi? It is a Japanese form of fixing broken pottery with gold. A lot of times the broken parts of our life, whether you're brokenhearted, you're feeling broken because, you know, your car broke down, you have broken bones, whatever is broken in your life, there is a way that you can fuse those things back together. There's a way that you can take all the hard things, the broken things that have happened in your life, and make sure that they can be held together. And the glue, that gold glue, right, that gold lacquer that holds it together is yourself. So making sure that you take good care of yourself and making sure that you're filling your mind with good information, you're filling your soul with good information, you're communicating with people that are doing exactly what you want to do, that's how you keep yourself together. So wherever you're feeling broken in life, making sure that you have the right information that is keeping you stuck together.
Love it. That's awesome. I hear a lot of different, you know, when somebody comes on, a lot of times it's, hey, I wish I would start sooner. It's always great advice. I love that one, right? It's, and you live that. You don't just talk about it. Like with the books you read and the podcast you consume and the mastermind you join and all of those different things that you're doing. And, you know, it's like you said, you're taking care of yourself and feeding your mind, your body, your soul with, you know, with good information so that we can get through the tough times and those broken times in our lives where we feel like, hey, I need to make sure that I'm strong enough to get through that stuff. I love that. And tell me the phrase again. What is it?
It's kintsugi.
Kintsugi. Yep. All right. I love it. That's awesome. Well, Brigham, this has been a really fun conversation. So somebody wants to know more about where you're managing properties, what you're doing, you know, how to join the podcast, and you will always post all of this in the show notes, but where should we point people to find out more about what you're doing and follow your journey and be a part of that journey?
I think the easiest way for you right now is Brigham Blackham on YouTube. That's at StayBnB is where you'll find that. If you have anything looking for like a podcast, it's Leveling Up with Brigham Blackham on Spotify and that. But the YouTube is probably the easiest way that you can find it.
Brigham Awesome. Blackham. We'll post that, and it's StayBnB and at StayBnB with two E's at the end. And yep. So we'll make sure that we post that in the show notes so that they can find you and keep following your journey and be a part of that journey, especially those of you that are investors that are looking for the right property management partner. I would behoove you to have a conversation with Brigham and see if it would be the right fit. Because what markets, Brigham, are you in? Are you able to go?
Right now, I'm in the Utah market, and I'm branching into the Colorado market.
Love it. Love it. Awesome, my friend. Well, listen, I really appreciate you spending your time with us and sharing your journey and sharing your story. It's always fun. And I can't wait to just continue to watch and be a part of that and watch you continue to grow and expand as you have been. So appreciate you joining us today, my man.
And I appreciate you having me on. And thanks again for putting the energy and effort into the program that you did, because it is next level, guys. If you're just listening for the first time, you got to get involved. Sean is the man. So thank you so much.
I appreciate you saying that, Brigham. I always appreciate it. And it's, you know, I always feel so blessed to be a part of so many people's journey and just even a small part of it at times, and just being able to see the success that people have. So I appreciate it. And so those of you that are listening, we always know how valuable your time is, and we do appreciate you spending it with us as well. And you know, at the end of every episode, I always ask you two favors. The first one is, if you know somebody that's getting in the short-term rental game that would love to walk in with their eyes wide open, share the show with them. Those things do help us, but hopefully it helps them as well. If you got value out of it, somebody else will. If you have more than 30 seconds, like and leave us a review, give us a thumbs up on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things help us as well. And then the final and the most important thing that I always leave you with at the end of every episode is go pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.